This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, so good evening. Welcome to Parshas Noso, the Parsha Shir. Let's see how far we can get in tonight's Shir. There are four offerings on the handout. Let's see how far we get. For those listening online, please do email me at j.golker@gmail.com and Blineda, I will send you the handout. So Parshas Noso is a very interesting Sedra. It's a very long Sedra. In fact, it's the longest single Sedra, 176 Pesukim. In previous years, we noted the interesting phenomenon that the longest Sedra is Parshas Noso. The longest capital Tehillim is chapter Kuf Yud Tes, which has 176 Pesukim. There are eight Pesukim for each of the 22 letters of the alphabet. There's eight Pesukim on Aleph, eight on base, and then eight on Gimel that carries on. So 176 Pesukim in Kuf Yud Tes. And also the longest Masechta in Shas, although it's discussed and debated exactly which is the longest, but certainly longest in pages, Baba Basra, has 176 Dafim. So there's something interesting about that, but I refer you to previous Shurim. I forget when it was, a couple of two or three or four years ago, and we discussed the significance of the number 176 and why it's indeed the longest. Okay, be that as it may. In Parshas Noso, you begin with the Nesi'im. You have the famous Parsha of Sota, of the woman who is suspected of being unfaithful and committing adultery, a woman who was warned not to seclude herself with a certain person, and she goes ahead and secludes herself with this person. Then you have the Parsha of the Nazir, the person who undertakes to be a Nazir, not to drink wine, and to be Metamin Lemesim, and to grow his hair, etc. And then you have the whole Parsha of the Nesi'im. And although we feel a lot of sympathy for the mitzvah boy who has Parshas Noso, 176 Pesukim, we shouldn't give him too much sympathy because, 12 times over he's repeating the 8 Pesukim, so there's a lot of repetition there, but we can have some sympathy. But let's take a look at something which I once mentioned before, but I want to just elaborate on it and mention some other points. It's something which I saw in Rabbi Pinchas Roberts' Sefer. Zichrin Nevroch, it's sad to have to quote him in the past now. But his Torah lives on, and his Torah is very beautiful. He says, the Pasuk says in Parshas Noso in the beginning, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe, Dabel b'nei Yisrael, v'amartu aleihem, isho ki yafli lindor neder nozir l'arzir Hashem. So the beginning of the Parsha of Nozir, which comes, of course, straight after the Parsha of Sota, a person makes a neder to become a Nozir to Hashem. And Rashi famously says, Loma nismecha Parshas Nozir l'Parshas Sota. What is the juxtaposition of Parshas Nozir immediately after Parshas Sota? What's the connection? Loma lecho, says Rashi to teach us, Shekol haroye Sota b'kilkulo, anyone who sees a Sota in her disgrace, it's a very degrading procedure that she has to go through. It's very public and it can be quite humiliating. And to anyone who sees this whole process, and certainly if it gets to the very end stages where her stomach swells and then she explodes, then it's anyone who sees that, Yazir Atzmo min hayayin, he will go ahead and make a neder not to drink wine, which is part of being a nazir, Shehu mevi l'dei niyuv, because wine is what brings a person to adultery, because by drinking wine he could get drunk, and that could sort of lower his guard, and ultimately he could do things which he'll regret. And therefore, a person who sees the Sota b'kilkula, yazir atzmo min hayayin. Okay, that is the famous Rashi, which is often quoted. The question that Rabbi Roberts asks, in the name of many, is, isn't it exactly the opposite? Isn't, if you see the Sota in this degrading, humiliating procedure, the last thing you're going to go and do is think about Niyuf, is think about doing this, which could lead to the exact end that you've just witnessed. So isn't it the opposite? So that's the question that people ask on this, right? It seems like it should be exactly the opposite. Why would a person's response be Yazir Atzmo min hayayin? Surely seeing, witnessing the whole procedure is warning and is sufficient deterrent. So Rabbi Yosef Leib Bloch, who is the Telzer Rosh Hashiva, he gives the following answer, and it's a fascinating answer which has lots of different facets to it. In short, he answers that, on the contrary, when you witness something, then the unthinkable becomes thinkable. And I'll give an example. The example Rabbi Roberts gives with the Rashi, famous Rashi in Parshas Kisetze with Amalek. Says Rashi, when Klal Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim, they were invincible. They had just brought this superpower, Mitzrayim, where not a single Eved had ever escaped. They brought Mitzrayim to its knees, and Klal Yisrael came out. Now, if you were another nation, you're not going to start up with Klal Yisrael. They're the invincibles. And therefore, when it says in the Pasuk, Asher Karcha Baderech, one Pshat Rashi says is Loshen Mikra. Asher Karcha Baderech. They chanced upon you on the way. Chanced, the Loshen of Mikra. Everything about Purim, Amalek is Mikra. There's no, their philosophy is there's no Ribbono Shel Olam. It's all coincidence. It's Mikra, etc. That's why Haman, who is the descendant of Amalek, when he picks the date of Purim, he does a Geirul. It's all chance. It's a lottery. That's Mikra. Dova Acher, the second pshat, says Rashi, is Loshen Kar V'Choyim. Asher Kar Chobaderech, Kar in Ivrit is cold. And Mekarer is a fridge. So therefore, Dova Acher Loshen Kar V'Choyim is an expression of cold and heat. Tzinenchov Yivshircha Mersisoscho. In other words, Amalek came along and they took Klal Yisrael off the boil. They took away that sheen of invincibility. Because all the nations were scared or petrified to start up with Klal Yisrael. And this Amalek came along and started up with Klal Yisrael. And he showed the sort of the Achilles heel, he showed the weak point, and he showed, demonstrated to others that actually they're not untouchable, you can start up with them. And he gives the famous moshel, says Rashi, moshel la'ambati reisachas. I'll give you a moshel to a boiling hot bath. That it's so hot, the water's boiling, no human being can go into the bath. But ben blial echod, one disgusting, despicable person, goes, kofatz v'yorad asoich, and he jumps into this boiling hot bath. Afa pisha nichve, even though he gets burnt, hikre oiso b'fnei achirim, he cools it down for the next guy. That's exactly what Amalek did. They got burnt, they lost the battle when they started up with Klal Yisrael, but they sort of cooled Klal Yisrael down for the next person. They took away that sheen of invincibility. It says Rabbi Yosef Leib Bloch, that's exactly the point. The unthinkable becomes thinkable. Who's going to start up with Klal Yisrael? You must be crazy. They've just brought Mitzrayim to their knees. You're going to start with them. Therefore, logic would dictate you're going to keep away from them. Amalek came along, they attacked them, it made it, the unthinkable, thinkable. In other words, it made something which you weren't entertaining to do into the realm of the possible. And once you're exposed to Aveira, then all of a sudden, it could actually, it does happen, it can happen. It sort of enters the radar. He gives another example. There is a pasuk which says in Parshas, also Parshas Kisetzeh, V'chiyeh b'ish chet mishpat moves, if a person commits a capital offense, v'humos, that person has got to be killed. V'solisa oisei al ha'etz, a person commits a certain capital offense, his chayv misa, you do skila, one of the arba misas based in, and the halacha is v'solisa oisei al ha'etz, you hang the corpse on a tree. Says the pasuk, lo solin nivlosa al ha'etz, ki kovatik brena b'yemahu. You can't leave the corpse hanging on that tree overnight because kikovra tikbarenu by yom hahu, you've got to bury him on that day. You're not allowed to wait past shkia, you've got to take the mace down and bury him. Why? Maybe leave him longer. Maybe leaving him hanging for a long time, for a few days, would sort of increase the deterrence for other people. This is a person who committed a capital punishment, a capital offense, let him hang and let him be a deterrent for other people. Says Rabbi Roberts, on the contrary, the same idea. By seeing someone who is Mechal Shabbos, or whatever the Aveira was, who did a capital offense, that very exposure to that puts the crime on the radar. It makes the unthinkable become thinkable. And that, Rabbi Roberts suggests, explains another interesting phenomenon. We know, the Pasuk says, that if a person kills B'shoigeg, person kills accidentally, he goes to the Ir Miklot. And there are signposts to the Miklot. So all over Eretz Yisrael, there are six or a Miklot in Eretz Yisrael, and there'll be signposts, this is the way to the Ir Miklot. But yet, there's no signpost for being Ol Regel. There's no signpost if you need to bring Bikurim to Beis HaMikdash. Why aren't there signposts everywhere saying Beis HaMikdash that way? So the Rabbi Robert says it's exactly the same principle. The principle is this. If you are going to the Ir Miklot, that means if there was no signpost, you have to stop somewhere. Excuse me, which way is the Ir Miklot? You're basically telling this person, excuse me, I'm in a hurry. There's a Goel Hadom chasing me. I've got to get to the Ir Miklot, which is home, which is my refuge, as quickly as possible. Where's the Ir Miklot? You're exposing that person to the reality that you've just killed someone. Death will become cheap. Again, you're exposing that person to a crime which now is on his radar, which is necessarily going to have a negative effect. And therefore, you don't want to do that. So therefore, we signpost miklots everywhere to make sure this guy doesn't need to ask directions and just gets there. Masha'inkin, when it comes to being Ol L'Regel or Bikurim, that's a very positive thing. So which way is the Beis HaMikdash? Oh, this guy is being Ol L'Regel, beautiful. This guy is bringing Bikurim, fantastic. Let him ask. Put that on your radar. That someone's being Ol L'Regel, someone is being is bringing Bikurim. The point is that when it's there in front of you, we think that it could be a negative deterrent, but sometimes it actually serves the exact opposite. It enters your consciousness somehow. And if you think about it, we're living in a society which is ever changing. You know, things that were forbidden, illegal, or abhorrent years ago, it's now things have changed. It's all quite fluid, and it's very difficult to maintain your sort of views about things. And when you're living in society, when things do change quickly, and that's the point. When things are out there and you're exposed to it, one has to be aware that unthinkable things do become thinkable. And that's his explanation of the Rashi. A person roya sota bekilkula, a person sees the sota, one would think that that's sufficient deterrent. On the contrary, yaze atzma min ayayin, the Torah understands the psychology and the danger of being exposed to what he saw. Okay, let's press on. We've just enjoyed the lovely Yontov, and we've had Birchas Kohanim, one of the highlights of Yontov, which here in Chutz Laretz, we don't get to see that often. Of course, Sfaradim do Duchen on a more regular basis. If I'm not mistaken, some Sfaradim Duchen on just on Shabbos, and some every day, even in Chutz Laretz. In fact, when Reb Steinman, when he came to America, not that long ago, he came to London as well, had the schus of seeing him, and when he came to America, one of the things he asked is that when he goes to America, he davens in a certain Sfaradi shul, because he was aware they were going to be duchen, and one of the things he wanted was not to give up on his duchen, on his birchas kohanim, to receive the brachas for kohanim. So he dafka chose to daven in a Sfaradi shul somewhere in America, in order that he could not miss out on his birchas kohanim. So we just had birchas kohanim. Now, let's take a look at something fascinating which I heard from Rabbi Reisman, quoting from Shimon Schwab, something really fascinating. It says in the Pasuk, Dabe el Aharon vel Bonov Lemar, Koy Sevorches B'nei Yisrael, Omar Lohem. So this is at the end of the long parsha, which deals first with Soita, and then Nozir, and then you have Birchas Kohanim right at the end. That's a long Aliyah. Yivorecho Hashem Vishmerecho. Note, three words. Yo'er Hashem Ponov Elecho V'yichunecho, the second Pasuk, five words. Yiso Hashem Ponov Elecho, V'yosem Lecho Shalom, seven words. But those three psukim are what the Kohanim say when they duchen and they bless the Jewish people. Now there's a Gemara in Megillah. The Gemara in Megillah, Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph, says, Hani Shleisha Chamisha V'Shiva Keneged Mi. What does that mean? When a person gets an Aliyah LaTorah, there on Monday and on Thursday during the week, there are three Aliyahs. Tomorrow morning, Mitzvah Hashem, Thursday morning, three Aliyahs. Kohen, Levi, Yisrael. On Shabbos, we know there are seven aliyahs, and on Yontov, there are five aliyahs. So ask the Gemara in Megillah, Hani Shlesha Chamisha Veshiva Keneged Mi. Why three, why five, why seven? The three on a weekday, the five on Yontov, and the seven on Shabbos, what do they correspond to? Why did Chazal pick those numbers? One of the answers of the Gemara there in Megillah, Chafkim Amdalef, is Keneged Birchas Kohanim. It corresponds to Birchas Kohanim. What does that mean? Explains Rashi over there. Shleisha Tevas B'Pasuk Rishon, three words in the first Pasuk of Birchas Kohanim, Yivarecho Hashem V'Yishmerecho, Chamish B'Pasuk Sheini, Yo Hashem Ponav Elecho V'Yichunecho, V'Shiva B'Pasuk Shlishi in the Pasuk of Yisa. Fine. Very nice Gemara. But what on earth does that mean? What's the connection between the number of aliyahs you get during the week on Yom Tov and on Shabbos and the number of words in the three psukim of Birchas Kohanim? What is the connection? So he said the following. Rabbi Shimon Schwab said a very beautiful idea. During the week, the three aliyahs during the week, the first bracha of Birchas Kohanim is Yivarecha Hashem Yishmerecha. That's a physical blessing. Yirbu Nechosim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give a person bounty and plenty. That is a physical blessing. That parallels the three aliyahs during the week because that is physical. That's the weekday. The blessing for Gashmis, for physical material wealth, money, physical wherewithal, that is a weekday blessing. And therefore, the three aliyahs that one gets during the week correspond to the three words for the physical blessing, which corresponds to weekdays. That's all physicality.
Sorry, why is it physicality?
Because the bracha of Yivarecha Hashem v'Yishmerecha is a bracha for physical sustenance. Yirbu nechosim, the pasuk, Rashi says in the pasuk. A person will enjoy Yivarecha Hashem v'Yishmerecha. Hashem should bless you with physical wealth. That's the interpretation of the pasuk. The first blessing is physical bounty. The next pasuk, Yo'e Hashem ponov elecha v'yichuneka, is referring to ruchnius, spiritual success. Now that corresponds to Yom Tov. And that's why there are five aliyahs on Yom Tov, corresponding to the five words in the five, in that bracha of ruchnius. Because being oil regel is you're being oil regel, you're going up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Zohar says that on Shabbos, the father, so to speak, comes to the son and plays with the son. Masha'inkein, on Yom Tov, the son goes to the father. We're being oil in the regel, we're going up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a broch in ruchnius. So Yom Tov represents ruchnius. That's why the five aliyahs correspond to the five brochas of the second brocha. What about Shabbos? If you've got a brocha for Gashmis, you've got a brocha for ruchnius, you seem to have it all. What is seven? What gets better than that? So Rav Shimon Schwab explains that seven corresponds to Menuchas Nefesh. That's what Shabbos is all about. Bo Shabbos, Bo Menucha. And therefore, the seven aliyahs on Shabbos, that corresponds to the depth of Shabbos, which is inner peace, serenity. That's what Shabbos really is. Ki'ilu melachtucha asuya. And therefore, the explanation now of the Gemara Megillah is very clear. Hani shleisha chamisha v'shiva keneged mi, keneged birchas kohanim. The three aliyahs during the weekday, which represents physicality, that corresponds to the physical bracha that is Yivarecha Hashem v'Yishmerecha. That's why it's three. The five words in Yo'a Hashem ponov elecha v'yuchaneka, which is a spiritual blessing, then that corresponds to the five aliyahs which one needs, therefore, on Yom Tov. And the Yisra Hashem ponov elecha v'yosem nocha shalom, which is menucha, which is absolute serenity, and Yishuva Das, and menuchas nefesh, that is Shabbos. That's what Shabbos is all about. Bo Shabbos, bo menucha. Now that also explains an additional dimension, and that is, you'll notice, there are some people in Birchas Kohanim, in Chazoras HaShatz, when the Chazan is repeating, when you're not duchening and you're saying Yivarecha Hashem v'Yishmerecha, most people just say Amen. Yo Hashem ponov elecha v'yichuneka, Yisra Hashem ponov elecha v'yosem nocha shalom. But some people say, and in some siddurim it's written, after Yivarecha Hashem v'Yishmerecha, they say Kein yihi ratzoin b'schus Avraham Avinu. And after the next one, they say, after Yo'e, they say, B'schus Yaakov Avinu. And after the third one, they say, Ken Yirosim B'schus Yaakov Avinu. Why Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? It fits in perfectly to what we just said. Avraham represents physical chesed. He's the person that the Arachim come, he gives them the tongue and the mustard. That's Avraham Avinu, that's physical chesed. So therefore, you say, Ken Yirosim B'schus Avraham Avinu, after the physical bracha, which is the first bracha. Then Yitzchak represents Ruchnias, and Yaakov also always represents Menucha. For example, Vayeshev is Bikesh Yaakov Leshev B'Shalva. And therefore, it's Bizchus Yaakov Avinu after the third bracha. Okay, B'Zeidah. So that is Birchas Kohanim. Time, perhaps, just for one more. This fascinating idea that I saw, I can't remember where I saw it, to be honest, but it's written by the author of the Pele Yoetz in his Sefer Elef Hamogen, which is a Pirush on Chumash. And he says something which is just fantastic. Look at box number three. Kosev Orches B'nei Yisrael, this is the pasuk we just mentioned, Omar Elohim, and say to them, Nir Lefarish says the Pele Yoetz, Rabbi Elazar Papa, Nir Lefarish, Al Pi Ma She'omru Chazal, this is based on what Chazal say, Leimotza HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kli Machzik Bracha L'Yisrael Ela HaShalom. The greatest blessing that Hashem could bestow upon a person is peace. You can have lots of issues in your life, but if there's shalom, there's peace, then that is the greatest bracha. The Geder HaShalom, and you know how to array, to sort of organize and to try and achieve shalom, Hu Ma'ane Rach Meshiv Chemo. I think it's a pasuk in Mishlei, I think, that a person responds to anger if someone shouts at you or curses you or raises their voice. Ma'ane Rach, a soft response, is Meshiv Chemo, it sort of subdues the anger. If a person responds in kind with anger or with noise, with a loud voice, that just raises the decibels and that escalates the whole situation. Ma'ane rach meshiv chema. If a person's angry with you, say, and you just respond calmly, it just dissolves the situation. Ma'ane rach meshiv chema. The Zos Emeris, and that's what it's saying over here. Kais avorches b'nei Yisrael al yidei she'argilu omar lohem amira rako. That's what the pasuk says. Kais avorches b'nei Yisrael. You know how to bless the Jewish people? Omar Elohem, Vayomer is always an expression of Rako, Amir Rako, a gentle, soft expression. So respond gently, that's the expression that you're conveying to the Jewish people. Now, Vafidu Lahamti Koinyan, Sheyodua, Shenimtsa Batura Shedibra Bilshonus Hagoyim. Amazing. Koimran, for example, sometimes in Lashon HaKodesh, the Torah borrows, however you want to understand it, it borrows expressions from the non-Jewish languages. Originally, presumably, they were Lashon HaKodesh and they found their way into other languages. That's how Rabbi Hartman explains this. But either way, the Posh Pshat is that they borrow non-Jewish or non-Lashon HaKodesh languages and they use on occasion. The example he gives, it says with tefillin, Toitofos, Ukshartem lo'is al-yodecha v'hoi lo toitofos b'nei necha. What is that, Toitofos? Says the Gemara, and he's quoting this Gemara, I think it's Gemara in Sanhedrin, Tat bekaspi, tat is an expression in Kaspi, some African language, and it means two. Pas ba'afriki, another African language, is shtayim. So that teaches you there are four boxes in your tefillin. But that toitofos, for hoylo toitofos, beinei necho, there are four sections in the tefillin sharosh. So too, beloshen yevoni korin la'achas hein. You call, the word achas is the word hein, the chodomen. There are other similar expressions. So listen to this. Listen to what he says. Af anu nemo ahava b'loshen sfardi, koirin amur. What is the word for love in many languages? Amore, or amour, A-M-O-U-R. Not only in French, but in Spanish, in Arabic even. In Latin, it comes from Latin as well.
In French,
in many languages. V'zoi sumeris. So this is now pshat in the pasuk. Koi sevorches b'nei Yisrael omar lohem. This is how you should bless the Jewish people, that there should be love amongst them. Not how we really read it. And say to them. No. Amore. There should be love amongst them. What a fascinating pshat. It's like totofos. It's like the other examples in Chumash when you're borrowing expressions not from Lashon HaKodesh. And therefore, he says, Omer is not a Lashon HaKodesh word, or maybe in its origins perhaps, but it actually is referring to love and not the word saying. And therefore, the pshat in the pasuk is, Kosevarach is b'nei Yisrael, Omer Elohim, there should be love amongst the Jewish people. That is the greatest bracha.
So Totofos is two or four?
Totofos means four, because Tat and Pas is two and two. So tat in Africa, what's the Lashon? Tat ba'kaspi is shtayim, and pas ba'friki is shtayim. So that's an expression of saying four. So that's just an example of a dibra b'losh b'loshenis hagoyim, as he says. Very good. So let's just summarize the three ideas that we've said this evening. The first idea, that juxtaposition of Saita and of Nazir, shekala roya Saita b'kakula yaze atz minayayin. Shouldn't it be the other way around? Exposure should be the deterrent. The answer is not. Sometimes exposure is dangerous. And therefore, a person is exposed, it makes the unthinkable thinkable. And that's why Amalek, for example, even though it didn't make any sense to attack Klal Yisrael, but yet what Amalek did was to make the unthinkable thinkable. No, they're not so invincible, you can attack them. And that's what it means. You hang the person at nightfall, you've got to take them down before Shkia. Don't let them hang too long. because it will put this crime on the radar, and we don't want that. And that's why the Ir Miklot, there are signposts there, because we don't want people talking about it, and we don't want to put it on the radar. Vashein came for being early regular Bikurim. Then we had Birchas Kohanim. What's Pshat in the Gemara Megillah? Shleisha Chamisha Shiva Keneged Mi. Keneged Birchas Kohanim. Why? So we've explained that the three is for the weekday Aliyah corresponds to the bracha of Gashmias. Yivarech Hashem Mishmerech is a bracha of physical and material wherewithal. And therefore, that is weekday, that is Gashmias, and therefore you have three Aliyahs during the week. And therefore you have five on Yontif, because of the second bracha is one of Ruchnias. And the third line, Yisro Hashem Ponav Elech V'yosem Lecha Sholem, is a bracha for Menuchas Nefesh, which is what Shabbos is all about. And then lastly, that interesting idea of the Perayoyes, and Elef Amogin, of Kosev Ochis Bnei Yisrael, Omar Elohem, Omar can be an expression of Amore, of love, i.e. Al Yidei Shei Amor Beinehem, bless the Jewish people, so that they could have love amongst them. Okay, we'll leave it there.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.